Parshas Maaseh, we learn about the obligation to set up six cities of refuge, the Arei Miklat, for someone who kills inadvertently the shogeg. He should run to flee from the victim's family that's chasing after him. He could run into these six cities called the Arei Miklat. And the killer goes into one of these cities, and how does he leave? How does he go free? The Pasuk says, through the death of the Kohen Gadol. When the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, when he passes away, then you're allowed free, you're allowed out. And Rashi quotes the Chazal that the reason is because the Kohen Gadol should have davened that during his tenure, such an incident, a horrible incident, wouldn't happen. So it's, on some level, his fault. It's his fault that this accidental killing happened, and you have to wait for him to die. Everyone's waiting for him to die. It's almost like a punishment for the Kohen Gadol that no one's let out until the Kohen Gadol dies. The Mishnah in the Maseches Makos and Daf Yud Aleph says what happens in the following case. There's a Kohen Gadol who's alive, and killing happens, an accidental killing happens. After the person dies, the one who killed has to go for a sentencing by the Sanhedrin. In between the sentencing and the actual killing, the Kohen Gadol dies. And the new Kohen Gadol is now instated, and then the sentencing happens that yes, he should run, this man should run to the Arei Miklat, to these seven cities of exile. So now, when does this guy leave? On one hand, the Kohen Gadol, who was supposed to have davened that this murder never happened, he's already gone. The new Kohen Gadol, wasn't his job to daven that maybe I'll one day become the Kohen Gadol and I should make sure that nothing happens. So he didn't do anything wrong. So what happens to the person in the Arei Miklat now? How does he go free? And the Mishnah says in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis that through the death of the second Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara says, the second Kohen Gadol, he didn't do anything wrong. Do we have to wait for him to die in order to go free? And the Gemara answers that the second Kohen Gadol should have davened that the Sanhedrin would exempt this man from running to the Arei Miklat. He didn't have to go. And since he didn't daven that the man is exempt from going into the cities of exile, therefore there's some level of fault in him, and you have to go ahead and wait for him to die as well. The question is, if this man is guilty, that's what the Sanhedrin decided, that this man is guilty, how could the Kohen Gadol have davened that this man should be found innocent? Doesn't make any sense. He's guilty. So now the Kohen Gadol should have davened that the Sanhedrin should find him innocent? Doesn't make any sense. So the Sefer Tshuva Me'ava, a book of responsa in the beginning of the 1800s, he has a whole discussion over there whether the following case. He discusses the following case, and in there he says a very interesting idea as follows. The Gemara says in Maseches Sanhedrin, on Daf Yud Zayin, that if the entire Sanhedrin decide that someone is guilty, he doesn't receive the death penalty. There has to be at least one person over there that held that he was innocent. If everyone finds unanimous vote that this person's guilty, he doesn't receive the death penalty. And the question is, does that apply also not only to the death penalty, but does it also apply to the sentencing of exile? And the Tshuva Me'ava says, yes, it does. And he says, that's what the Kohen Gadol should have davened for. Not that the man should be found innocent. Of course, he's guilty. He should have davened that the entire Sanhedrin should come to the conclusion that this man is guilty. And then he'd be exempt from running into the Arei Miklat. The question is, though, why does that make any sense? Why would you daven that everyone find him guilty so that he doesn't have to run the Arei Miklat? If he's guilty, he should need the Arei Miklat. He needs it for his atonement. That's how he should be cleansed from his sin. He should go into the Arei Miklat. Well, you're not doing him a favor by praying that everyone should vote him as the killer. So I once heard a very beautiful idea in the name of the, based on the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim in the Sefer Meir Inei Yisrael, the Chelel Gimel, he says, why is it that if the entire Sanhedrin vote that someone is guilty, that the guy goes free? That would have been the easy one. Everyone decides he's guilty. He's guilty. In that case, he doesn't get the penalty. He doesn't get the punishment. Sorry. Why? He needs the punishment. Why is it so? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Yizayin seems to give a different answer, but the Chafetz Chaim said as follows. He says that the Sanhedrin had the ability to find someone innocent quite easily. The Gemara talks about they were so smart and knew so much, they were able to find 150 reasons why a sheretz, which is normally tameh, is really tahor. They were able to go ahead and figure out some loophole somewhere to try to get the person off the hook. And that's why we know that the death penalty wasn't really given much in Jewish history. It says that once in 70 years, more than once in 70 years was like considered a horrible Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin with blood on their hands. But it wasn't common. It wasn't a common thing. Because they were always able to figure out maybe the witnesses, maybe this, maybe that. They were so smart, they were able to figure out a way to get the person off the hook. If the entire Sanhedrin find a person guilty, just making sure everyone's listening. Okay. If the entire Sanhedrin find a person guilty, that means no one, not one of the judges, were able to find some value, some merit in the person. They're all saying, guilty. You're this. This is who you are. Bad. Not one of them could have found some merit to the person. If someone, if all these geniuses, brilliant Talmidei Chachamim, they'd all say that you're guilty, and there's nothing good about you, they can't find one any merit in you, that itself is an atonement. That horrible feeling that, who am I? I'm not good, I'm completely guilty, everyone sees that I'm guilty, there's nothing schus, no tzad schus, no merit in me, that itself is so, it almost kills you. That itself is like in place of the death penalty. And that's why when we said the Kohen Gadol, he should have davened that everyone would have voted him guilty. That enough would have been a punishment. He wouldn't need to go to the Ir Miklat because the person would feel devastated. And that itself is the atonement. You see from here, a very, very, very important yisod. And actually has ramifications to the time that we're in, the 3 weeks, mourning the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And that is, that if a person wants to be alive, the person wants to be able to grow. What does it mean to be alive? You're growing either physically or spiritually, emotionally, we're changing. No person just stays like this. We're always changing, we're always growing, we're always becoming better. If a person doesn't grow, he's not alive. How does a person grow? How can we all push ourselves to higher limits? Push our limits. How can we do that? It's by believing in ourselves. It's by seeing that, yes, I can do this. I could push myself, I could do it. Like Rav Noach Zatzal used to always say, anyone who says the words, I can't, it's like worshipping Avodah Zarah. What do you mean you can't? Try, push. We all have self-limitations of what we're able to do, how much we're able to learn. But I remember, I always say now, that this was, why did Hashem create finals in college? What was the point of that? So it's very clear, because right before finals, as many of you could relate, you're cramming, you're staying up all night for days, weeks sometimes, right? And then you take the test and you crash for 3-4 hours and that's it, and you're back to normal. Would you ever thought someone would ask you, could you stay up for 2 weeks straight, you know, studying and studying and studying? Say, no way, I can, no way, there's no chance. So Hashem put this into the world to show us we can, there are things that we're able to do in order to push ourselves. We have it inside us, we just don't believe in ourselves. We feel we don't have that side of merit inside us. People have trouble waking up in the morning. Oh, it's hot, I'm tired. If they'd have a flight early in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, they'd be able to sleep for 3 hours and get there. If they had a very important business meeting, an interview, they'd get there on time, they'd get there early. But when it comes to the regular schedule, the learning, davening in yeshiva, I'm late, I'm tired, I need a little more sleep. We can. We say we can't. with our interactions with other people. Sometimes we say, oh, it's not me. It's not me to speak like this. It's not me to be as polite or to ask someone how they're doing. It's not cool. It's not manly. It's not me. But if we had to, because we'd get a job based on speaking that way, or because someone would fire us if we didn't speak that way, we'd be able to do it. When it comes to our wife, when it comes to someone close, all of a sudden, I can't. But we have that ability. And in order to be alive, we have to believe in ourselves. If the Sanhedrin doesn't believe in us, that's called death. If we don't believe in ourselves, for sure it's that way. The Gemara says in Maseches Tainis that the root of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was already way back by the Chedad Meraglim, the sin of the spies. That they came back and they cried on the 9th of Av for no reason. They thought they couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael, and they cried, and the Mishnah says, because they cried for no reason, in the future they're going to cry for a reason. And that same night, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And part of the speech of the Meraglim of the spies was, V'sham ra'inu es ha'nefilim, b'nei anak min ha'nefilim. We saw these giants. And we were in their eyes like grasshoppers. We were in their eyes. We were in our eyes as grasshoppers, and we were in their eyes the same way. And the Chafetz Chaim says that that was part of the root of the sin, that they held themselves to be so low. Here are these spiritual giants of people. They left Mitzrayim in the Midbar, they're living with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they said, we're like grasshoppers. We're nothing. We can't do it. We're small. We're too small. If they would have realized how great they were, how much Hashem gives us, so much potential, so much energy, so many things inside us that we could do anything, so then the whole Churban HaBayis maybe wouldn't have come about. So we have to try to pay attention. We should recognize, think about things in our lives that we did things out of the box, where we did things that we didn't expect that we could have done, and remind ourselves daily that we could do those things. We could get up early. We could stay up late. We could be nicer to people. We could push ourselves, even if it's not us, even if we don't feel that it's us. We could go ahead and get it from within us. Bez Hashem, we'll see that we're so much more successful. We'll interact with other people in a greater way. And we'll be zochet to the building of Beis HaMikdash. Me'er v'yameinu.